Checking on the Arts is made possible by the Memphis Symphony Orchestra. Just a taste of what you can hear Wednesday evening at First Congregational Church when the Memphis Acoustic Music Association presents Choro Dos Tres. It's going to be a very interesting concert, and you'll actually have an opportunity to be involved in a workshop with these fabulous musicians. Amy Burcham is an old friend, and we have talked about this kind of music, Choro, on numerous occasions before, and I know you're excited to be part of bringing this group to Memphis.
I am just delighted. I've been, as you mentioned, Daryl, besotted with this music for, I guess, about 6 years now, since I first encountered it out at a mandolin, a week-long mandolin seminar called the Mandolin Symposium, run by Mike Marshall and David Grisman.
Mm-hmm.
David actually first brought the recordings of this music to the United States on his acoustic disc label, the music of a mandolinist named Jacob do Bandolim.
Hmm.
In Brazil, the best players, especially in this tradition, carry the last name of their instrument.
That's so interesting.
This was certainly one of the most prolific composers and most revered players. And in a more or less direct line to that, this mandolinist that you just heard, Elisa Meyer Ferreira, is channeling the technique and the playing style developed by Jacob de Bandolim. And I encountered this music through really the work of Mike,
mm-hmm.
Who first heard it riding in the van to a gig with David Grisman, since he was in the group, and fell in love, as most people do. It's very difficult to listen to this music without falling in love with it. And went to Brazil and basically ate choros for a year and a half, and came back and created a scene on the West Coast, produced a CD that was seminal, a CD for those of us who came into this music through the mandolin called mm-hmm. Brazil Duets.
Mm-hmm.
And then right before I encountered Mike at this seminar, he had recorded his first CD with a group he formed called Choro Famoso.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I just started listening to this music, was looking for something because I was a classically trained person and mm-hmm, loved mm-hmm. Chopin. And yet, you know, from early adolescence, I had wanted something. I'd also been drawn to George Gershwin and jazz, and was just looking for that sweet spot. And this was that sweet spot. The sound was just in the rhythmic complexity, the contrapuntal kaleidoscopic turns of phrase, the rapid chord progressions, the diminished chords, the chromaticism, you know, was just gone. I found myself doing cartwheels at work. I could not stop listening. So, yeah, I came to you not long after that, deciding there had to be a Fiona Ritchie of Choro somewhere, and maybe I could awaken that person's initiative and get something started as a radio show. And of course, that led to this.
Right,
and
right.
This is going to be the first appearance of Choro in Memphis.
Is this their initial North American tour, I think?
This is their first trip to the U.S., and it is for two reasons. One, they have just released their third CD, and you heard that taste was from mm-hmm, their third mm-hmm. CD. Boas Novas, Good News. And it is actually all, if I understand correctly, all original tunes. not by the band. I have yet to get the backstory on this because the download doesn't give composer names.
Right.
But Shoto is this gem of a tradition that is 100 years old, but continues to be just as vibrant and forward-looking as it was 100 years ago. But yes, they are coming here for that reason, and also the anchor of their trip is the week they just concluded at the Mandolin Symposium, being the teaching faculty for what they call the Shoro track.
Okay. We're talking about Shoro Das Tres. They're going to be appearing this Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. at First Congregational Church. This is part of the Memphis Acoustic Music Association series. If you'd like more information, you can check their website, which is mamamusic.org. You can also buy tickets there and also at the booksellers at Laurelwood. And we want to mention that in addition to the concert, there's actually a workshop that they're going to be doing while they're here.
Right, from 1:30 to 3:30, the same after the afternoon of the concert. You know, in a way, it might have been easier to have the concert first and then the workshop for a community that's kind of new to Shoro, but this is the day they could give us. So, if for any acoustic musicians who have an interest in learning, you know, not necessarily learning to play this. This is obviously virtuosic music.
Sure.
And it... It takes years of playing with other people playing it to develop a really good sense of it. But there is so much information. The first workshop I went to for Shoro was so informative, basically because the rhythmic underpinning is so rich and the way melody is used and the way chords flow. And you would have at this workshop represented the eldest daughter. I guess I should talk about who.
Well, you should talk about that exactly, because that's a great story in itself.
Right. This is a family, and they have been playing together for about 10 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Since the youngest was 8 or 9.
Yeah.
She's now just 20. The oldest, the middle sister, the middle is Leah, who is 23, I think. Youngest being Elisa.
Mm-hmm.
And then the middle child is the guitarist.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I should mention that the guitar in this tradition is, it can be actually, when Shoto first came around, it was a 6-string guitar that was played.
Mm-hmm.
But then at some point in the early 1900s, the 7-string guitar, actually more like the 30s and 40s, the 7-string guitar began to be used in Shoto because the bass lines would be covered by it, as well as some of the chordal information.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
Yeah, it's beautiful counterpoint bass runs. In fact, an early composer in Shoro was known as the Bach of Shoro because he was so... it seems an odd comparison, this popular music style, but really this is the classical music, the closest tradition in Brazil to classical music. I like to quote a singer, Aquiles Hique Reis, if I got that remotely correct, and who said, Shoro is classical music played with bare feet and calluses on the hands.
Very well put. This is a fascinating music, and it's Brazilians, of course, are very, very serious about their music, so someone to rise to the top of this particular style says a lot about them.
Right, they are masters of the form. From fairly early in their playing career, they have been. I'll talk about that in a second, but I've been in arrears. I jumped off into guitars. But Leah, the middle child, plays the guitar.
Right.
The Secchicordis 7-string guitar, violão Secchicordis.
Right.
And the oldest sister, Karina, is their flutist. And just a beautiful, beautiful flute. Wind players will be totally charmed by her alone. Although Elisa also plays clarinet beautifully, and banjo, and piano, and composes. And then their father, to wrap this up, accompanies them on pandeiro, Eduardo. Pandeiro is a musical instrument that is very similar, I suppose, in a lot of ways, to our tambourine.
Mm-hmm.
However, a tambourine with a skin on it, but this version of the tambourine, the discs are facing the other way. They're concave instead of convex, and there's also a plate in between them. So with all of this, the pandeiro is like a tambourine that went to heaven. It has so much tonal range, tunable.
Amy, let's back up a little bit and talk about the music itself. Why is this music so important?
This is crucial music to understand in a way the musicians and, well, the musical tradition of our hemisphere. I was amazed to find out there where we, the United States, North America, imported about 250,000 African people as slaves. And then the slaves were freed in this country, you know, in the 1865. Brazil, whose slaves were freed in 1888, had imported 3.5 million African people. Hmm. So there was an extremely rich population that brought their rhythmic traditions from various parts of Africa, many, many different intact traditions. And where our melting pot forged ragtime and New Orleans jazz and then evolved very quickly in the fast-moving pace of the United States into, you know, bebop and other forms of jazz, this particular tradition, shoru, emerged around the turn of the century. By 1910 or 20, you know, it was their national music. It was embraced because Brazil spent most of the 20th century under military dictatorship.
Mm-hmm.
And the government found it advantageous to champion shoru because it did establish a national identity with all of these people from Africa moving to the cities and rubbing shoulders with civil servants and people from Italy and Germany and other countries, the big wave of European immigration. So,
sure.
But this, there's something very authentic and genuine about this tradition that makes it very, as I said, close to the classical European art form, mm-hmm. and yet grooving so hard with this this rhythmic complexity. So if you know, we want to understand our own indigenous music, it really informs us to listen and understand what they did as well.
Now, we talk a lot about these concerts that Memphis Acoustic Music Association does. They typically tend to be more singer-songwriter oriented and solo guitarists and a lot of that sort of thing. How did Mama get involved with this particular organization?
Well, I thought of Mama right away. I thought of the concerts I've been aware of that they've done. Especially more recently, they've brought the International Guitar Duo, which is coming back August 10th. And yes, they do a lot of singer-songwriter other eclectic music, but a lot of it is also instrumental. I think Peter Herka's more or less a regular with Mama. So I reached out to Judy Kitts right away because I knew I would be in good hands.
Well, this sounds like it's going to be a wonderful event, and I know that many of our listeners are interested in different kinds of world music, so this is a great opportunity. Shoru Das Treis, performing Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. at First Congregational Church in Cooper Young, and this is the Memphis Acoustic Music Association putting this on once again. Check their website, mamamusic.org, and you can get to all the information and buy tickets there. My guest today, Amy Burcham. Amy, thanks so much for coming by.
Thank you so much, Daryl.
Checking on the Arts is made possible by contributing listeners and by the Memphis Symphony Orchestra. The 2013-2014 season is fast approaching, and tickets are available now. Highlights include Copland's Lincoln Portrait, Tchaikovsky Symphony No. 4, Beethoven's Pastorale, and Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue. Tickets and information available at 537-2525 or memphissymphony.org.